Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I just was thinking, I didn't say this to him, but I said it last service. Donnie and I just took a webinar on a marriage. And this is for everybody, not just married people. Is that when you label somebody, your brain thinks 2,000 over as high as 10,000 thoughts a day. Now pay attention. When you label somebody, your brain will search jealous or, you know, ungrateful. You know, don't label them anything. Because you see, when you do that, you are working with the enemy to bring division to what God has put together. Or if you're single, you shouldn't label anybody anywhere ever. We ought to look for the best in everybody. And when we look for the best in people, that's where your brain starts to go for, to see the best in people. And you see, when you're doing that, now you're free. You see that? That's where freedom is. But you're wired that way. Your brain searches for what you put labels on. You catching that? That's significant right there. If you don't get anything else out of this whole message, that right there, you need to take home and chew on it for the rest of your life. Because that right there is going to help you. I'm just here to tell you. When you see the best in people, people want to be around you. That's just how it is. But you see, if you say, oh, they're this, or they're that, they're from that group, or they're from this group, and you label them, see, that's what your brain does. Your brain starts, oh, yeah, well, it tries to confirm that what you labeled them is really true. But it's not true. Because if what you labeled them isn't what God says about them, it's a lie. And now you're fellowshipping with a lie, and you're helping bring that lie, and that lie is going to destroy you. Because God calls you to walk in the truth. Am I making sense? He calls you to walk in the truth. Remember, we talked about last week that the devil is a liar and the father of it. He is a lie, and he's the father of it. And then it says, and he's the resource and does not stand in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. John chapter 8, his own resources. Listen, he's a liar, and he speaks from his own resources. But listen to me. When you speak the truth, you are speaking only from Jesus. Because only Jesus can give you the truth. Only Jesus. Now, he's the source, not a resource. You see, now when you speak the truth about somebody, that's going to assist them in helping them become what they're supposed to be. And help you in the meantime. Are you with me? Now, you can't speak truth without the source. He's not a resource. You see, he is the source of life. Oh, get a hold of that. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, our foundational scripture we've been talking about, the agape love, and remember the fruit of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, self-control. Those are all fruit of the agape love. The agape love. Remember, the agape love is different than, okay, there's five loves in the Bible. There's five types of love. Now pay attention. There's eros love, which is sexual love between man and woman. Then there's thermos, which is where we get the word thermos. It keeps things warm or cool. And that's compassion. And then there's filial love. That's brotherly love. That's Philadelphia, brotherly love. Filial love, that's scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And then there's number four, storge love. That's family love. That's a mother's love for her children and family love. Now, those four loves are based on emotions. We're not supposed to be led by our emotions. You're only supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is connected to the agape love. You see that? Agape love stands alone. It supersedes all the rest of those loves. Those other loves, those are inferior to the agape love. And when the agape love is in place, it has power. You see that? Because it's unconditional. And when you love like that, there's power in it. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It says that we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Agape. That's in Colossians 1:13. Agape. So that's what we want to foster. That's what we want to walk in. And so now, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. You see, you can't have joy if you don't understand what I'm talking about. It's only going to last a second, and it won't help you any. You can't even have joy because it's connected to the agape love. See that? There's a principle that has to be in place for that joy to be there. And the principle, the main principle, is the agape love. Peace. You can't even have peace. Well, I got peace. Okay. It's gonna go away soon because it's based on something that can't stand. But when it's based on the agape love, what you got? I got peace. No confusion. I got peace in my heart. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. The word guard means to protect from all enemy invasion. When you have peace, anxiety, worry, doubt, fear, those things can't come in and control you because you're connected in agape love and peace is the fruit of it. You okay? We're glad you came to church today. All right, now look. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 6. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, so now we're in the love chapter. So we've been talking about what love does not do. And so love, so we can say love, everybody say love. Agape, because that's what he's talking about in that. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we desperately need you. So, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and minds. Just remove anything that we brought in here with that's going to try to get in the way of your word and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that it would be removed right now. Prepare our hearts to receive from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now, we've been talking about this idea of the truth. And so last week we talked about how a lot of times, as we're growing and maturing, we want to fit in. And so sometimes we don't fit in. We talked about fitting in. Fitting in is an outward thing. You know, you want to fit in all the time. You want to have the right label on your clothes and the right pants on and the style, you know, because you want to fit in. Well, you see, that's all outwardly. And, you know, there's a little bit of that's okay. But, you know, fitting in is really not the best thing when it's such a priority, because to just want to fit in all the time, there's not going to be any change in your heart side of you. You see that? God wants you to belong. And so really, to fit in is really a counterfeit of belonging. Every one of us has an innate desire to belong. We were born, God created you. You are God's divine design to belong. And so when belonging is distracted and distorted, okay, you got gangs in Chicago, you got gangs in New York City, you got gangs all over the United States. Some gangs, you got to kill somebody to be a part of it. See, that's a distort. But they belong. They feel like they belong. You see that? They get tattoos. They get all that. Nothing wrong with tattoo, but they do all this. So they feel like they belong, because that's what they're belonging. That's what God wants you to belong, because we all have been created to belong. And so this is important. And you see, you want to belong, but really you belong where God's people are. You see, that's why he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11, he says, we are bound to give thanks to God, brethren, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Every one of you, he chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth calls you, the gospel, it calls you to belong. It calls you to what you belong in and where you belong, because God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. You see that? And he calls you to be you. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to act like you're someone you're not. He calls you to be you. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if your mama or your papa left you on a doorstep. You see, you'll use that as an excuse, as a victim, to get out of the truth for the rest of your life. But when you understand who you are going to follow him all the days of your life, because you know who you are and you know the truth about who's calling you. Am I making sense? You know where you belong. You see, you belong in God's family, with God's people, because he's your source, not a resource. When we understand this, folks, listen, you want to belong. You hearing me? And this is for everybody. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that? How many? All. Because everybody's called. They're just not coming. You see that? Well, I want to fit in. Those people don't care about you that you want to fit in. They could care less about you. I'm going to be around some folks that love me. Are you with me? And I know he's got my back. And I know it's for me. Am I making sense? Because I'm going to tell you something. You can be deceived and hang around people that you'll never fulfill your assignment. And that's what deception does. It keeps you away from your assignment. Your assignment in God. Am I making sense? Come on. Are you with me? Let's go to John chapter 18. So, belonging. Every one of us belong. You see this? And that's what God calls you to, belonging. That's so powerful. And when that takes root in you, you know it. And nobody can move you from it. Nobody. You catching this? Now let's look at this. This is Pilate, and he's talking to Jesus. Now look what he says. This is before Jesus is going to be crucified. He says, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. We're talking about the truth today, remember? Love rejoices in the truth. Now look, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me, and neither nothing or anyone can pluck them out of my hand. You see that? When you know him and you know the truth, nothing will move you from it. You'll want to hear his voice. Why? Because the truth makes you free. Free to be who? Free to be me. Not what somebody else said, not what somebody else is talking about. Free to be who God created me to be. You see that? Now, next one. Pilate said to him, what is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth? Was Pilate being sarcastic? Maybe he was just kind of weary, tired. Now look at this. What is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. See, Pilate couldn't even find any wrong in him. Pilate was talking to the truth. Jesus was the truth. You see that? That's why Jesus told him, if you're of the truth, you're going to hear my voice. You see that? Pilate was talking to the truth. Only Jesus is the truth. Not Mohammed, not Allah, not Buddha, Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And so this is what we have to understand. Well, you know, how could you say that he's the only God and there? No, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Jesus is the plan of redemption for mankind. None of them died on a cross. None of them shed their blood for our sins. Am I making sense? Only Jesus paid the price that God's plan of redemption to redeem us back into his family. You see that? For you were once not a child of God, but now you become a child of God. Everybody's God's creation. You become his child when you're born into his family. Spiritually. Now, let's go to John 1:14 real quick. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. You see, when you really understand the truth, you're going to be full of grace. You're going to have grace for people. You're going to have grace for that person at work that gets on your last one. That person that gives you the most difficulty. You see, when you understand God's grace and his truth, you see, I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to bless those who curse me and despitefully use me. You see, when you want to retaliate and get them back, who are you acting like now? Help me out. You're acting like the devil. That's what the devil does. But when you give grace and truth and love to people who don't deserve it, now you're acting like God. Because that's what he gives you, grace and truth, when you don't deserve it. Are you listening to me today? That's what he gives you, grace and truth, when you don't. I know I don't deserve it. But he keeps giving it to me. And he keeps showing me. That's why I'm going to keep giving people mercy. I got me some mercy. Are you with me? I've had my head knocked. I got some mercy for some folks. Are you listening to me? Because he's given me the truth, and it's full of grace. And I can give people grace. And when you can give people grace, that empowers you. Because you see, if you don't forgive them, you're not giving them grace. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you shut everything off between you and God. He can't even get his truth to you now because you have unforgiveness in your heart. You cannot have unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody and keep walking in the agape love of God. It chokes off the love of God from getting flowing through you. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, but it can't flow through you. I want it flowing through me like a river. Love, keep it flowing like a river up in there. Am I making sense? That's how it is. If you don't keep it flowing, it'll stop. Because you've allowed somebody at work to get on you, or somebody in your family, or something get between you and God, and now it's going to contaminate everything. That's why attachment to the past will contaminate your present and your future, your discernment for the present and the future. You'll end up marrying somebody you don't belong with because you didn't discern, because you had a negative thought and unforgiveness in your heart. That's how that works. You'll end up hanging around people you have no business being with because they're not part of your assignment. You need to have discernment and understanding so you can connect with the people who are part of your assignment for God's plan and purpose for your life. Because if you're ignorant of God's principles, his agape love, you can't put the purpose in motion. See that? But when you have that agape love, the principles reside in that. And now I can put his purpose in place. And I can be what God created me to be. Am I making sense? All right. John 14:6. Let's look at that. Think about this. Jesus said this in John 4. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God and believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And Thomas said, "But Lord, how can we know the way?" Jesus gave him the answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know what? Jesus was talking to people, religious folks, who understood the Old Testament tabernacle. And he knew they understood it. That's why he said, "I am the way." What's the way? Here's the way. The way was outside the temple, the tabernacle. And this is where animals would be sacrificed. And they used to sacrifice animals. And the blood shed would be for their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. They would sacrifice animals out in the way. And then they would wash in the laver. And then they were ready to enter in the door. Jesus said, "I'm the way." The way, remember, it's where they would repent because of their sin. Repent, back to, pent, pentacle, highest place. In order to get to the highest level of life God created you for, you got to get back to it and go his way. Because he said, "I'm the way." You see, when you go his way, now you're getting to the highest level of life. He said, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but it waters the earth and makes him bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace." You see, that's the kingdom of God. When you go his way and you get his way on it, now you are in the kingdom. You're walking in true joy and true peace, and you're advancing his kingdom everywhere you go with your expression. Are we making sense? His way. He's the way. He's the way. Don't you like that? Now he says he's the door. He's the truth. You can't even get into the tabernacle. It only had one door. He says, "I'm that door. I'm the truth." That's how you enter in. You got to get the truth first. And now you get in, now you're going into the presence of God. See? So Jesus was saying, "I'm the tabernacle. I'm it." So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the life was in the presence of God, the Zoe life. And that's the God kind of life. You can't even get to the life if you don't go his way and get the truth to get in to the life God has for you. And see, there's three lives in the Bible. Bios life, suke, that's your thought life, and then zoe, the God kind of life. See that? Three lives in the Bible. So this is important to understand. So his way, truth, life. Don't you like that? Jesus is the truth. Now, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was and is the communicator of truth, the witness of the truth, original of the truth, and the preacher of the truth. He is the embodied, he is truth embodied, and Christ is the final revelation of God to man. So that's what the book of Revelation is. It's God revealing Jesus to us. You see that? Now, truth is not a system or a philosophy. It's a person. If you want to know the truth of God, you must come to know Christ. Because he alone is truth. Jesus alone is truth. You see that? Give me John 15:26 real quick. "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. See, you got the Father, you got the Son, Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit. They all work together to get the truth to you. You see this? They're all working together to get the truth to you, so you can become who God created you to be. So you don't mutate into something you weren't supposed to be. If you want to know your gender, I got me a long mirror in my hallway. I want to know my gender. I just get out the shower. I don't even use a towel. I just go up there and take a look. I know what I am. Huh? Is that too much for you guys? You know what? You need to get you a long mirror if you're wondering what you are, and put it down in the hallway. Just get out of the shower. Don't even use a towel and go take a peek. Because see, God created that. And when you try to say that's not from God, you're trying to tip. He created us in his image, but man tries to make him in their image. You see that? And that's what we don't want to do. Because the truth is, you've been created in his image, and you can be everything he created you to be. And they all work together to help you with your identity and with his plan and purpose for your life. Now look at this. Give me John 4:23 real quick. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. And you know what? You're a spirit living in a body. When you look in the mirror, that's just a physical appearance of your body. But now you're inside there. Looking out. See that? You're a spirit housed in a body to do God's will. Now, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit, truth. Truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. You see that? In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth, for your word is truth. You see, he's looking for worship, people who worship him, because we're those who worship him in spirit and truth. That's the bride of Christ. He's coming back for the bride. See, the marriage. That's why marriage is so important. It's to be an expression of Christ in the church. Not running around little innuendos about what they did or didn't do last week. And, oh, I'm just joking. You know what? Get rid of that. You speak the best about them. All the time, every time. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, only that which edifies. We're only to speak the best about those we love and those we don't love yet. You see that? We're to speak the best about even the people that are giving you the most problems. Start looking for the best in them, remember? And guess what happens? You'll start seeing it, and it'll help them. Now look at this. Give me John 16:13 real quick. Are you glad you came to church today? Now look what he says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So in other words, if it's not pointing you to Jesus, it ain't from God.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.